William Miller now began the study of the Bible with the most intense interest. Starting with Genesis, he proceeded verse by verse, making sure he understood each passage before he went on to the next. Often he studied all night, and gradually the mysteries and beauty of the Bible opened before him. He took particular interest in the prophecies, discovering from the Bible and from history how literally and accurately these had been fulfilled. Alone in his study one day, he opened his Bible and read Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. His life was never again the same.
And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. I wonder what it means when it says sanctuary. And the cleansing of the sanctuary, what about that? Now, the 2,300 days, that's 2,300 days, or years, according to prophetic reckoning. If I knew when the 2,300-year prophecy started, I could then determine when this sanctuary was cleansed, or when it is to be cleansed. Yes, maybe this cleansing referred to is still in the future.
With mounting excitement, William Miller pored over the scriptures, searching for the answers.
According to Daniel 9, the 2,300 days would begin at the same time as the 70-week prophecy. Now, if I can determine the start of the 70 weeks...
More study followed, comparing verse with verse and chapter with chapter.
According to the most reliable chronologies, these two prophecies would begin in 457 B.C., if I add the 2,300 years onto 457 B.C., let me see, that comes to A.D. 1843. That would mean the sanctuary is to be cleansed around 1843, about 25 years from now.
Again, he returned to the scriptures using other time prophecies to check his results. And all seemed to point to the year 1843.
The cleansing of the sanctuary. That must mean the cleansing of the church from sin and the earth from sin. And that will happen at Christ's second coming. Then in about 25 years, Jesus will return. Why, in about 25 years, all the affairs of our present state will be wound up.
Go, tell it to the world.
What? Tell it to the world? No, I can't do that. Perhaps I've made some mistake. Then I'd mislead many. No, I must study further.
Go, tell it to the world.
For 5 long years, William Miller brushed aside that voice and continued his study of the scriptures. But again and again, the voice seemed to say,
go, tell it to the world.
No, I can't. I cannot preach. No, God, not me.
William? William, dear, what's wrong?
I'm sorry, Lucy. I didn't see you come in.
I've never seen you so distraught. What's the trouble?
This voice, this feeling I have, it gives me no rest. For the past 5 years, whether I'm plowing or cutting wood or studying, whatever, a voice seems to say, go, tell it to the world.
Maybe you should obey that voice, William.
But I can't. I can't speak in public. And who'd work the farm? The boys can't handle it yet by themselves. No, someone else must tell it to the world.
I'm sure you'll make the right decision. Come on now. Dinner's ready. The children are waiting.
More years passed. William tried to quiet the voice by telling a few friends about his discovery. He wrote letters and mailed them to friends. Still, the voice persisted.
Go, tell it to the world.
Very early on a summer morning in a certain house in Dresden, about 16 miles from William Miller's home, 16-year-old Irving Guilford and his father are discussing an important matter.
Yes, Pa?
Now make sure, Irving, that you tell your Uncle William exactly what I told you. He must understand. It's urgent.
I understand, Pa.
Breakfast ready.
Oh, I can't wait for breakfast, Ma.
You'd better eat something, Irving. It's a long ride on an empty stomach.
I'll be all right. Which horse should I take, Pa?
Take the mare. She'll get you there the quickest.
Okay, Pa. Goodbye, Ma.
Quickly, Irving saddled the horse and was soon galloping through the cool morning mists along the edge of the lake, hurrying to deliver a very important message. And at his home, Uncle William, having just finished his breakfast, stands and walks to his study. There, he sits down to study his Bible before going out to work in the field.
When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not return from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
Go, tell it to the world. I have appointed you a watchman.
I can't go, Lord.
Why not?
Lord, you know I can't preach. I'm just a plain farmer. I'm too old to start preaching. I'm almost 50 now.
Go. Tell it to the world.
No, God, no, I can't preach. Someone else will have to do it. Send someone else.
I have appointed you a watchman.
No. No, no. All right, Lord. All right. I'll make a bargain. If you will open the way, if you will send me an invitation to preach publicly in any place, I will go and tell them about your soon coming.
Instantly, his burden was gone. The distress he had felt for almost 13 years vanished. No one had ever asked him to preach before. He thought no one ever would. He was happy.
Oh, there it is now. Uncle William's house. Well, he'll be surprised to see me so early.
William, buoyant in spirit because of the bargain he had just made with the Lord, closed his Bible and settled back in his chair to rest and meditate a few minutes before going out to work. Suddenly, the silence was broken by a loud knocking.
Well, I wonder who that can be. Whoever it is, he sounds excited. Why, good morning, Irving. Come in.
Good morning, Uncle William.
What brings you way over here so early? Is someone sick? Is something wrong?
No. Everything's fine. Paul wanted me to tell you, our minister is away and can't preach tomorrow. He wants you to come over and tell everybody about those things you've been studying. You know, about the coming of Christ. Can you come?
William Miller was thunderstruck. He stood as if frozen to the floor, speechless. And then, still without saying a word, he turned and strode past the surprised Irving and out the door. He was angry with himself and with God. And louder than ever, the voice sounded within him,
Go! Tell it to the world!
Finally, he stumbled into the grove of trees beside his house to wrestle with God.
Why did I ever make such a bargain? Lord, you knew I was setting a trap for myself, but I can't preach. Well, surely, Lord, you know that too. I'm afraid. Very afraid. What if I'm wrong? Yes, maybe I've made some mistake in my calculation. No, I know I'm right. No, there's no mistake. Oh, Lord, surely, Lord, you can find someone else. Someone who can speak in public. I'm just an old farmer. Who'd listen to me anyway?
Desperately, tearfully, William Miller argued and pled with God. Still, the voice rang in his ears.
Go, tell it to the world.
But I can't tell it to the world. No, God, no. I can't preach. Lord, it's too much for me. I can't bear the responsibility.
For one full hour, William wrestled with God. Finally,
all right, God. If I may not be released from this task, then I will go. But I need your blessing, God, your help. You'll have to give me the ability. Oh, Lord, I know you'll be with me because you have promised to be with us till the end of the world. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise be to your name.
13 years of struggle were over. William Miller was now supremely happy. A great peace filled his soul, and this usually quiet and unemotional man shouted and jumped for joy. William's youngest daughter, 6-year-old Lucy Ann, who had been watching her father, ran excitedly to the house to tell her mother what she had seen. The battle in his heart resolved. William returned to the house and his waiting nephew.
Irving, I will go with you.
Oh, thank you, Uncle.
But now it's about noon, and I suppose a growing lad like you must be starving. Stay and take lunch with us. Then we'll go and relieve your father's anxiety.
Lunch over, they set out, back around the neck of Lake Champlain. And the next day, William Miller preached his first sermon on the soon return of Christ. Actually, it was more like what we call a Bible study. Because of his fear of standing before a congregation, his first meeting was held in the Guilfords' large kitchen. And instead of standing at a pulpit, William Miller sat in a large chair at the kitchen table and talked to his congregation, seated around him on boxes and chairs. But his sermons were so appealing that the people of Dresden persuaded him to stay and preach every night that week. People from neighboring towns flocked in to hear him, and more than a dozen families were converted. The following Monday, he returned home, and there a letter awaited him from Pulteney, Vermont.
Listen to this, Lucy. An elder Fuller in Pulteney wants me to come out there and lecture to his congregation on the prophecies and the soon coming of Christ.
Why, dear, your fame as a lecturer is already spreading.
Yes, maybe so, but it's clear from this letter that they haven't heard of my lectures at Dresden.
Oh, I see.
No, Lucy, it's not my fame, as you put it. It's the Lord. He's twice taken me up on the bargain I made with him. I must go and tell the world the message God has given me.
And go tell it to the world he did. He preached in over 500 towns and cities and personally aided in the conversion of over 6,000 people. One of the towns he preached in was Portland, Maine. And there, among those who heard him speak, was the Harmon family, including their teenage daughter, Ellen.
And so I have proven, as I said I would, that the Bible explains itself. Clearly, it teaches the literal, personal coming of Christ before the millennium. Know, my brothers and sisters, that the 2300 days of Daniel will come to an end in the year 1843. Look then for the coming of our Lord.
Young Ellen listened with rapt attention, for according to God's prophetic clock, her Jesus was to come for her in less than a half dozen years, and she wanted to be ready. Yes, the man who had so often made fun of the preaching of his uncle and grandfather, himself now stood before thousands, and for the rest of his life, fervently preached the soon return of his Savior.